When the schedule was made, first of all, compliments to our technology team. Fantastic job. Not so complicated, but when it doesn't work, it's, you made it work. Thank you. When the schedule was made, I was not aware until actually this morning that today is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disappearance day. So another topic was selected for this morning that got changed out because it's Bhaktisiddhanta's disappearance day. I hope that's okay. And the theme fits in very nicely with Bhaktisiddhanta's disappearance day. Utilizing, actually I like better, engaging with prayer to deepen our bhakti. So there's a series of 19 prayers, not all of them we'll be reading, but I'm going to read many of them. Prayers by Bhaktisiddhanta that are instructive in order to deepen our bhakti. And those prayers are the prayers to the mind. He wasn't the first one to do such prayers. Manashiksha, very famous set of, that's, shiksha means instruction, but my dear mind, so take it as an instruction or take it as a prayer. Bhaktisiddhanta's style is, he was known as Nrisingha Guru. He was, look out, here he comes. And he would challenge deviants. It is said they would see him coming along the street in Navadvip and they'd go the other way, because he would confront them right on the street and do his Nrisingha Day program with them. Now, he was like that, particularly for our newer people. He was like that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had an almost diametrically opposite style. They came from the same place, pure bhakti. Their approach, or their style, their mood of bringing people to pure bhakti, very different. In simple language, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's was humble persuasion. It is, I've heard it said, I don't remember reading it anywhere, but I've heard it said, Bhaktisiddhanta would sometimes take exception to his father sitting with contaminated people and not flattering them, but humble persuasion and bringing them to Shuddha Bhakti. And Bhaktisiddhanta, how can you sit with these people? Let them have it. Now, at the same time, Bhaktisiddhanta, just like an example, he had utmost regard for his father as a pure devotee, not just dad, but as a pure representative of Krishna. There's this little example of that. Who was Bhaktivinoda Thakur's spiritual mentor, Diksha Guru? Bipin Bihari. So one time, the description goes, both Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta went to pay a visit to Bipin Bihari. And when Bhaktivinoda Thakur, being a shiksha disciple, a diksha disciple of Bipin Bihari, when he came before his diksha guru, he paid obeisances. And then offered words of appropriate appreciation and so forth. And then some exchanges. Some circumstance called for Bhaktivinoda to leave the room for a bit. And as soon as he left the room, Bhakti Siddhanta let Bipinbihari Goswami have it. What kind of arrogant person are you? You have no understanding of the exalted nature of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He is a resident of Vaikuntha, and you're sitting there letting him pay obeisances. Your heart is, you know, rah, 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 rah. Bhaktivinoda Thakur returned. Bipinbihari didn't say anything about what he had just experienced. But later, he expressed to Bhaktivinoda Thakur privately, your son, he's fierce. Something like that. There's more details, but you get the idea. Their style was very different. But he had utmost respect. He just had his style. And whether people liked it or didn't like it, he had his style. He was not foolish. He was not looking for followers. He was looking for pure devotion. And, you know, let's say in our activities of outreach, you know, in these days in the Hare Krishna movement, let's say even specifically Western outreach, we don't do that. We don't do that. Now, maybe some people of Western upbringing or millennials in general would be really attracted. Wow, this is a genuine person. He doesn't hold any punches. He punches. Wow, you got the real thing. You're very confident. Something like what Dravida said about his appreciation of Prabhupada. Here's not a person who is, he used the word hedging. Krishna is the supreme, you're reading Krishna book. Just a little on the Krishna book. It was very surprising, at least to me, to many of us, when Prabhupada produced Krishna book, because he had said over and over and over and over and over and over, don't go straight to the 10th canto, go step by step through 1st canto. Those that go to the 10th canto and speak on the 10th canto, you shouldn't hear from such persons because they don't have the qualification. People won't understand Krishna's pastimes. Over and over. And then he produced Krishna book, which was like, And then the explanation, you know, privately was given, I don't know how long I will live, and when people become aware of Krishna Bhakti, unscrupulous people will go to the 10th canto and do their unscrupulous thing. So I want, as an acharya, I want to provide people in the world with an understanding of Krishna as he is, and so the chapters of Krishna book follow by number the chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 10. But he wrote in such a way that even worldly people that don't know anything about Krishna can get a proper picture of Krishna. That was his expressed intention, and that's what he did. And like we heard Dravida say, when he read, it was, you know, he didn't hedge. Or, you know, his intensity wasn't like that of Bhaktisiddhanta, but he didn't hedge. He just had his style. Prabhupada once said, I'm some 80% more lenient than my Guru Maharaj, some larger number. And his Guru Maharaj was not lenient. He was, there's this nice, because shortly we'll go to these prayers to the mind. Dushta. Dushta means wicked. Oh, wicked mind. So that's the stick. And Bhaktisiddhanta, as Dravida expressed it, so I'm just amplifying what we've already heard. Essential, this is the Sunday lecture, it's necessary to have the mind go to Krishna, whatever the yoga system is. Prabhupada writes it in Bhagavad Gita purports. It's whatever the yoga system is, this one, that one, what the mind does is essential. Say it negatively. If you don't control the mind, you can't be a yogi. Say it positively. Control of the mind is essential in any yoga system. And for the mind to be controlled, it has to be pure. Say it negatively. If the mind is not pure, you're not going to be able to control the mind. For the mind to be controlled, it has to be pure. And so Bhakti Sansada gave instruction. How do you control the mind? He said different things at different times, but on one occasion he said, there's two options. Stick or neglect. And it works. You know, it's not literally you take a stick and bang your top of your head. You know, the broomstick at night and the shoe in the morning, or the other way around. Beat the mind 10 times. It's metaphorical, not literal. But confront the mind. Discipline the mind. Discipline the mind. And then the other is starvation. You know, Prabhupada would explain. Like taming a tiger. You capture a tiger and you starve the tiger. And he's like, after some time, he has no strength. And then the animal, the tiger trainer, gives a little food. Enough that he can not expire. And then after some time, the tiger becomes dependent upon the hand that feeds him. Now, it's certainly possible the tiger can turn around and eat the hand that feeds him. But at least it's a principle that animal trainers use. They starve and then gradually feed and bring submission to the animal. Similarly, the mind. Neglect. Here's what not to do. Spend lots of time paying attention to the movements of the mind. Because it's really important, right? These are my feelings. And my feelings are me, and I'm important. So it's not who we are, but if we invest consciousness in not who we are or who we are not, the mind, and think that's me, there's no end to it. Not only today, but lifetime after lifetime. It's what keeps the world going round. The mind. So it's really important to this, to control the mind. And a method of Bhaktisiddhanta is the stick or neglect. There's other teachings, but that's one of them. This, I'm mentioning it because it came up in Dravida's class, and it's on our theme, prayers to enhance our bhakti, or strengthen or deepen our bhakti. Dushtamana. A theme, one of the themes in Bhaktisiddhanta's, these prayers you're going to hear shortly, is reprimanding the mind's tendency to seek reputation, worldly reputation. And either this way or that way. Worldly reputation of having, like the word that Christina used yesterday, abundance. I have these opulences that come from piety, and look at my opulence. And prideful of having that opulence, it takes one away from bhakti. Or over on that side, negation. And apparently, during Bhaktisiddhanta's time, there was a proliferation of people who were imitation people. They weren't really qualified, but they were seeking public recognition for being qualified when they were cheaters. Now, similar to the mood of Bhaktisiddhanta was Gaur Kishore Das Babaji and how he confronted people who were imitators. It was even more extreme than Bhaktisiddhanta. Woo. Woo. And Gaur Kishore Das Babaji was the initiating guru of Bhaktisiddhanta. So they had a similar mood. Both of them had utmost regard for Bhaktivinoda, whose mood was quite different. No problem, different mood, different style. But purity, that's the essential. So a theme in these Dushtamana prayers to the mind is the mind seeking worldly reputation. And in these two different categories. So if you recall yesterday morning, the verse spoken by Krishna to Uddhava, the candidate for pure devotion is one who is not too much inclined this way and not too much inclined that way. Remember? For indulging in the temporary or dismissing the temporary with the intention of becoming liberated, becoming a worldly enjoyer, but not too much, not so. It's right in his prayers. Bhaktisiddhanta, I'll point it out as we go along. It's in one of these, it's 19 prayers, we're not going to read all of them, but specifically, not too much and not too much. That's an instruction for the mind. So it's Bhaktisiddhanta instructing his mind, but we can instruct our mind, and not too much and not too much. Or, as is the message of Krishna to Uddhava, 11th canto, chapter 20, we read yesterday morning, there's similarly Rupa Goswami, who's giving the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that taught Yukta Vairagya. It's right in his prayers. I'm doing a preview of his prayers and we'll touch on it again when we read his prayer. Yukta Vairagya. Rupa Goswami has these two prayers about renunciation or detachment. Back up. Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Sarva Bhuma Bhattacharya, great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, contemporary of Lord Chaitanya, vastly learned, wrote one verse, wrote two verses that are quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita by Krishna Das, expressing Lord Chaitanya taught, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya are Jnana Vairagya. Rupa Goswami put it, Yukta Vairagya. So, jnana that's matured is not just theoretical, it's seeing things in relation to Krishna. And a false renunciation is Hari Sambandha Vastuna, those things that are Sambandha in relation with Hari, Mumukshubi Prityago, you reject them. Palgu Vairagya, false renunciation. It's in these prayers. That's the Dushtamana. Don't do that. Why would somebody do that? Well, they want liberation or they want public appreciation of being like the Goswamis, being, you know, most elevated. Some people, apparently at that time, followers of Lord Chaitanya, not followers of Lord Chaitanya, wanting public acclaim, not having the qualification, presenting themselves as if they have qualification. You know the profile. Long beard, saffron cloth. I'm a renunciate. It's all over. And that's not, Prabhupada's teaching is that's not the standard. It's not what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. What Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita is the quality and the activity, both, guna and karma. Then someone can be considered whatever they are to be considered, whatever their position in the world is. The four varnas, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, it's not birth, or it's not how you dress. It's quality and activity. If one has the quality and performs according to that quality, that person is in this position. So the sadhu, the person who is to be honored, is the Vaishnava who engages everything in Krishna's service. That the Yukta Vairagya, which is right in his prayer. So he's taking the teaching of Lord Chaitanya, which we know through Rupa Goswami, which is found in Srimad Bhagavatam, and putting it in prayer. I'll just repeat something because I think there's some devotees in our audience that weren't with us the first evening, that the first class that I spoke. I learned something in the very beginning, like the first week of living in a temple. If you want to write poetry or prayer, first enter deeply into the prayers of pure devotees. So you know this is a very nice way, a suitable, proper way of offering poems or prayers, rather than the creative method. Now, there's no harm. Be creative and offer prayers. It's not like that's wrong. But you'll become more benefited and more elevated by this method. So we're going to hear prayers of Bhaktisiddhanta that are just mirroring all these other previous personalities. In his own mood, naturally, because he is who he is, the Srinya Guru, with admonishing the mind. And his style was he wouldn't just admonish his mind, he'd admonish anybody's mind. And particularly his followers. Because he was such an elevated person. It was hard to understand him. So he attracted people that had intellects that were exceptional. What happens when you have somebody with exceptional intellect? Generally speaking, they're proud. Dushtamana. He was helping those followers of his and anybody that had anything to do with him, even the ones that ran across the street, control the mind. Avoid the pitfall of seeking worldly distinction. Live in this position that's advised by Krishna to Uddhava. Not too much and not too much. Not reject it. Not indulge. As appropriate. In Rupa Goswami's teaching, I find it fascinating. Anasaktasya vishayan yatharham upayunjitaha. Anasaktasya means without attachment. Vishaya means sense enjoyment. Right in Bhagavad Gita. Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehinam. Vishaya means sense enjoyment. Without attachment to sense enjoyment, yatharham upayunjataha, according to suitability. Now, yesterday, Christina, you were asking about this new question of abundance and shouldn't something be there that, unless you're a brahmachari. Yeah. So on that topic, according to suitability, is if someone is a brahmachari, there's something suitable and something unsuitable. If someone is a householder or living not as a brahmachari lives, then there's another suitability. And even amongst householders, there's different suitabilities. And amongst brahmacharis, there are different suitabilities. I mean, not every brahmachari needs a tambura machine like Dravida has. But it's for Krishna's service, so he carries with him a tambura machine. I thought it was cool. You know, in 10 seconds, he's got this machine going. That, you know, in his room, he has a real tambura. He doesn't need the machine. And it's part of, you know, you get the idea. According to suitability, he's a brahmachari, through and through brahmachari. He's not a creamsicle brahmachari. He's a through and through brahmachari. Creamsicle means saffron on the outside and white on the inside. For those of you that don't know what creamsicles are. So according to suitability, even within an ashram, from person to person. So what's that? Well, it's very personal. And each of us has to be self-honest and appreciate what's suitable. It's right in his prayer. Let's go. The higher position, Prabhupada would speak on this often, so I'll follow him. One who is dear to Krishna, there's no one more dear to Krishna than one who takes the message of Bhagavad Gita and gives the message of Bhagavad Gita. They're Krishna's words. So in contrast with the person who is this imitator of the Goswamis, and wants to get adoration and public acclaim by being a renunciate, when the real interest is not pleasing Krishna, the real interest is the mind accumulating some accolades, some eminence is the word that he uses. Apparently he translated the text himself, or one of his followers did. Eminence means having a high position owing to one's position, one's being in superior. So aspiring or hankering, the mind's hankering for that. Eminence. You're superior. You're a laudable personality because you're clearly superior. I can't be renounced like you. So the mind wishing that. That's being admonished here. A wicked mind. So, Prahlad says the same thing in his prayers. Some persons are like that, not me. I don't want to, aside from what I don't want that, I don't want to go back to Godhead unless these people who are struggling and suffering can go also. Please don't offer to take me back without the people that are suffering also. And how many people are suffering? Everybody. A lot of people, a lot of souls. So it's in Prahlad's prayers also. So now we'll begin. I'm not going to read all of them, but I'll read a number of them. Especially, we'll start with the first seven. There's a connection. They're connected one to the other. The first one is the one that Prabhupada would quote many times. Most prominent is this first one. Dushta mana! ! Oh, wicked mind. What kind of Vaishnava do you think you are? You're pretentious show of chanting Lord Hari's holy name in a solitary place is only for the sake of attaining the false prestige of a worldly reputation. It is nothing but pure hypocrisy. Kaitava means cheating, so hypocrisy. Then it continues. Number two. Such materialistic prestige, here we go, is as disgusting as the stool of a hog. Do you not know that it is only a mere illusion cast by the potency of Maya? What is the value of contemplating day and night your plans for enjoying wealth and women? All these things are only temporary. So now, the renunciates, those that are aspiring for the accolades of others, have an interest. It's a way to get their maintenance or get wealth and then become enjoyers of women. And it's not rare. Three. When you claim wealth as your own, it creates an ever-increasing desire for material enjoyment. Your riches should be used for the service of Madhava, the Lord of all wealth. Madhava is a name for the husband of the goddess of fortune. So fortune is to be used in the service of Madhava. Neither is it your proper place to indulge in lust for women, whose only true proprietor is Yadava. The Madhava Yadava. Yadava is the name of Krishna. So all living entities, whether in the body of a man or a woman, they're to be enjoyed by the Supreme Enjoyer, the Purusha. And we're Prakriti to be enjoyed. So coveting, desiring enjoyment of Krishna's enjoyment . The demon Ravana, parentheses, lust incarnate, fought with Lord Ramachandra, love incarnate, in order to gain the tree of worldly reputation. But that oasis turned out to be but a mirage, cast in the desert wasteland of the Lord's illusory material potency. Please, my dear mind, cultivate fixed determination to attain only the steady and solid platform whereupon a Vaishnava ever stands. If you neglect worshiping the Lord from this position, then you will ultimately attain a hellish existence. You remember from Prahlad's prayers yesterday evening, it's exactly one of his prayers. Exactly. Why do you needlessly suffer the torment of blaspheming the devotees of Lord Hari, attempting to achieve their eminence, his high status, because of your superiority? That's the mind of a criticizer of Vaishnavas, thereby only proving your own fruitless foolishness. The desire for spiritual eminence is fulfilled when one becomes a devotee of the Lord, for eternal fame automatically follows the heels of a Vaishnav, and that fame is never to be considered a temporary worldly opulence. There's this nice saying Prabhupada would quote. It's specific to Madhavendra Puri, but a man's reputation follows him. So when Madhavendra Puri became a recipient of the mercy of his deity Gopal, and then the mercy of Gopinath. He immediately left Ramuna, thinking, as soon as people hear that Gopinath stole a pot of sweet rice from me, everyone is going to go, wow. So he left before anyone could do the wow. And he went straight to Puri to complete his mission for his deity, Gopal. But when he got to Puri, they already knew. Hey, you're this... That a reputation follows a person. I mean, the mind follows the person. So your mindset doesn't change by going from here to there. Your mind goes with you. In fact, it carries you. And reputation also. So the fame, the spiritual eminence, follows the soul wherever the soul goes. So the focus should go to what's genuine spiritual eminence, not the cosmetic, what do other people think. It's, what does Krishna think? What's pleasing to Krishna? And if that's the contemplation, like, no one pleases me more than speaking the message of Bhagavad Gita to others, then you speak the message to Bhagavad Gita to others. You don't go into seclusion and do the Durshadamana program. Text 6. The relationship between a devotee and Lord Hari is devoid of even a trace of worldly illusion. We heard this about from Prahlad also. It has nothing to do with the materialistic cheating propensity. Here comes some strong language again. The prestige of so-called popularity in the material realm is compared to a treacherous dog-eating witch. And the attempt to live in solitude, to supposedly engage in unalloyed bhajan, is compared to an entangling network of distraction. Please know that anyone striving in either of these ways verily lives in the hell of Maya's illusion. Got a stick. Correcting the mind. Dear mind, what is the good of seeking such so-called glory? I will always remind you that the great soul Madhavendra Puri never deceived himself in that regard by committing theft in his own storehouse of perception the way you do. So now Madhavendra Puri, because there are persons that imitate Madhavendra Puri and prior to him, the Goswamis, because then reputation comes. He never deceived himself. He was in this topmost position. During his life, he lived in a certain way. In Bhaktivinoda Thakur, during his life, he lived in a certain way. During a certain period of time, being qualified, Bhaktivinoda went into seclusion in Puri and did solitary bhajan. And then he left that solitary bhajan. He came back into the world and gave pure messages. So don't be an imitator of Madhavendra Puri is the message. Going to text 10. Do not forget for a moment, my dear mind, the two most valuable concepts that Lord Chaitanya taught. One, the principle of dry, apparent renunciation as opposed to real, appropriate renunciation. That's the Yukta Vairagya principle. We'll hear it next. Not dry renunciation to the principle of a soul being trapped in the bondage of matter as opposed to the soul who is liberated. Don't ever make the mistake of thinking that these conflicting concepts are on the same level. Please remember this while engaging yourself in chanting the Lord's holy names as loud as you possibly can. 11. My dear mind, one is truly a Vaishnava who has given up the habit of falling victim to the ferocious tigress of wealth, beauty, and fame. Such a soul is factually detached from material life and is known as a pure devotee. Someone with this consciousness of detachment has thereby become victorious over the mundane world of birth and death. Now here's this yatarham, according to suitability, you know, for those of you that are householders. Same, right in Bhaktisiddhanta's teaching. He didn't say don't become a householder. Live this way. One is indeed detached who moderately partakes of worldly things that are deemed necessary for living in devotional service, semicolon. A devotee acting in that manner does not fall prey to the disease of material infatuation. Thus, devoid of selfish attachment and endowed with the ability to see things in relation to the Lord, all the sense objects are then directly perceived as being Lord Madhava himself. Maybe five times I've heard Rabindra Swarup Prabhu speak on the following. As a PhD student at Temple University in Philadelphia, he heard Prabhupada say, and pondered on it, and pondered on it, and pondered on it, and discussed the results of his pondering on it. Prabhupada said, a devotee, when he sees a tree, he doesn't see the tree only, he sees Krishna there. So I'm looking out the window, and there's that big tree. And I don't see Krishna, I see a tree. So what does Prabhupada see? What's he expressing? It's here. In Path of Perfection, Prabhupada explains exactly what he meant. Little paragraph. You see the tree. But you see the tree as Krishna's, and when you see the tree as Krishna's, you see Krishna. That's if you have some affection and attachment for Krishna. Prabhupada would give this example. Sometimes parents keep little baby shoes from their child when the child's a little baby. And then later, as the child has grown up, they see the little baby shoes and they see their little baby, because seeing the shoes reminds them of their little baby. So in their mind's eye, they see their baby, although they're just looking at the shoe. So it's not literally when they see the shoe, they see the baby. It's the mind reflecting on the object. And when there's attachment or affection, that's what you see. It's advanced or elevated state of mind, but when the mind is elevated in that way, there isn't the contemplation of being the enjoyer of the object. It's Krishna's energy meant for Krishna's enjoyment. In that way, all sense objects are then directly perceived as being Lord Madhava himself. So that's the standard of renunciation that Lord Chaitanya taught. Rupa Goswami taught, Bhagavatam teaches, he's just in his own style expressing it and warning the mind, don't go in this direction or that direction. Because if we don't control the mind, we're not going to progress in spiritual life rapidly. We need to cleanse the mind. So cleansing the mind comes from chanting, Chaitadarpanamarjanam. And as the mind becomes cleansed through chanting, we can better understand how the mind should be oriented towards objects. And scriptural instruction is there to help us see them as the energy of Krishna, meant to be used in Krishna's service. We're not there yet. That's the notion or the concept. That's the jnana. And to get to vijnana, or to realization, that requires bhakti. We apply the teachings in practice along with chanting. This is the standard of befitting renunciation, not just brahmachari sannyasi, but anyone, whatever the position is. This is the standard of befitting renunciation, and one who realizes this is most fortunate indeed. Everything involved in such a devotee's life represents Lord Hari's personal spiritual opulence as manifest in the world of matter. On the other hand, one who engages in chanting the Lord's name with hopes of enhancing his own material reputation finds that all his activities and paraphernalia represent only the riches of hypocrisy. Then again, 14, don't go over here, don't associate, don't allow the my dear mind, don't go over there, the worldly enjoyment position or the artificial renunciation position. Dear mind, go to the lotus feet of Hari. Those things that are used in relation to Lord Krishna are objects belonging directly to the transcendental realm and thus have nothing to do with matter. They cannot be either owned or forsaken by persons interested in mundane enjoyment or renunciation. And he speaks of impersonalists. We'll go to the last two verses. Ever engage yourself in the service of Sri Radha. This is an instruction to the mind. And keep aloof from the vicious snake of materialistic sense gratification. The glory of participating in the Lord's kirtan is not meant to bolster anyone's ambitions for personal recognition. O mind, why then have you abandoned the identity of being Radha's eternal servant in favor of retiring to a solitary place to practice the cheating process of so-called bhajan, kaitava, nirjan bhajan, cheating solitary devotion? Two more. And we're done. The most valuable treasure amongst the Lord's preachers is the eternal personalities residing in Brajadam. They never occupy themselves with begging for worthless material reputation, which is cherished only by the living dead. The Brajavasis are truly infused with life, and therefore they preach in order to give life to the walking corpses in the mundane world. All the songs that the Vrajabhasis sing about the glories of Lord Krishna are devoid of any tinge of desire for fame. So he's really focused on this desire for worldly reputation. And the final verse is starts Sri Dayata Das. Those are familiar with the prana mantras for Bhakti Siddhanta. This word Dayata is in his prana mantra. So the translation he's given, or whoever is the humble servant of Radha, the humble servant of Radha's beloved Krishna, Sri Dayata Das, the humble servant of Radha's beloved Krishna. So he's speaking now about himself. This humble servant of Radha and her beloved Krishna always hopes for kirtan, and he begs all to loudly sing the names of Lord Hari. The transcendental power of congregational chanting automatically awakens remembrance of the Lord and his divine pastimes in relation to one's eternal spiritual form. Only at that time does it become possible to go off to a solitary place and engage in the confidential worship of their lordships, which Madhavendra Puri did, and other qualified personalities may have done, and those that are not qualified, they're not eligible. They shouldn't do that. And if they do that, they'll not reach Krishna. So, dushtamana. That's not like any one of us, I don't think, any one of us is thinking, gee, I want some reputation, let me go off and live in a solitary place and get recognition from other people. Ours is over on the other side. But the tendency is there, so as we become a little more advanced, we may think in those ways due to a wicked mind. So let's not go too far this way, too far that way. Take the instructions that Krishna gives, take the instructions that Rupa Goswami gives. Yukta Vairagya. According to suitability. And that can change as time passes. It should change. It should become diminished feeling of necessity for stuff. In fact, we don't require, but there may be a feeling that I have necessity for stuff. So you accept which is suitable. And hanker or aspire or strive for, it's not needed. And then if you have that mood that it's not needed, it's in Prahlad's prayers. Such a person can have the opulence of Vaikuntha, and they're not disturbed. Another person that has opulence, they become disturbed, or they don't have opulence, they become disturbed. So becoming free from such desire is the undisturbed mind. Okay, how are we doing on time? Any discussion? 8:30. Yes.
Thank you so much for speaking on this topic, Guru Maharaj. I have been struggling for probably a month or so. What to do? Particularly, you have touched on this topic, how we have to apply these instructions is suitability, suitable to ourselves, we have to take it, and the cleansing process. So my particular question is, when we are applying these principles of
yukta... When you're applying which?
Yukta Vairagya principle.
Yukta Vairagya, okay.
We should not be completely neglecting at the same time. It's similar to yesterday's verse also.
Yes.
When I'm saying, okay, this much I can do, that's okay, I can get this much stuff, or I can give this much time for my bodily needs or anything, the mind actually tends to go more into that direction, and it takes me completely away from the main sadhana process, the attention.
Yeah, the mind is like a monkey. And very clever. Very deceptive. Very deceptive.
Particularly, at times, I strongly desire when I go to bed, I want to wake up at this time, I want to chant because I have to go to work, I have to complete these many rounds. Says, no, 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 your body is so tired, you can't perform your duties, so please sleep, that's okay.
Well, sometimes some sleep is needed. So you just have to be alert. Sometimes it's just the mind. And if you find that there's a tendency, that, you know, for the mind to trick you, you don't go there. Even if it means, you know, you remain tired when you should have rested. Just, you know, you try to not be tricked by the mind. So take other readings besides the mind's readings of what your needs are. You know, the intent, Krishna will help. Behind the mind is the intelligence. The intelligence can also be sitting places for lust or aversion to being in Krishna's shelter. It's the, you know, polluted intelligence, polluted mind. We can't get there without Krishna's help. So keep striving. And there'll be some mistakes along the way. But don't trust the mind. Look in some other direction besides, okay, my dear mind, you've been in charge for a long time. And you haven't done a fantastic job. So you're over there for a while. And I'll call on you when I need you. I'll call on you when I need you. Intelligence will tell you what to do, okay? And eventually, that's the starvation method. Or neglect. Yeah.
Just to follow up, Maharaj, how do we distinguish its
mind? How do you do what?
How do we distinguish it as mind or it is real need?
Probably assume it's your mind. You know, it depends on circumstance. It depends on where we are. So if it's intelligent, there should be some matching with spiritual instruction. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, our great personalities. Then there's some match, there's some, like, you hold it up to that light. But largely we're ruled by the mind.
Like as you mentioned, Maharaj, that some sleep might be needed. I just want to understand how should I distinguish between this that I really need.
I understand your question. It's the same question again. It's not a simple formula. It requires purity. And purity, then you get spiritual intelligence, and spiritual intelligence can make that discernment. How strong, you go to your connection with Supersoul or Krishna. But a reasonable assumption is, at least you can say it's a mix. If not, largely it's the mind. But then you go to instruction. So become familiar with teachings, Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita teachings, Prabhupada's purports, and Acharya's commentaries, and so forth. And then we're worshipping Krishna with our intelligence, means the intelligence becomes purified. Yes? And then we'll have the capacity to discern.
Guruji, a brief clarification question. So you were saying towards the end that we don't most of us generally don't think this way, that to gain fame or prestige that we go to a solitary place. But you stated that we go the other way. How I understood it was that we enter, or we're in part of the society more to perhaps some part of us isn't being motivated for fame. Is that
the enjoyers of the temporary, mm-hmm. and not seeing the temporary as Krishna's? There's more of that tendency than Nirjan Bhajan tendency.
I see.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Often I find myself in fear when I think about the future.
Fear of the future.
Yeah.
Okay.
Will the future not, will it not be what I envisioned? And I do realize that even though it's very difficult to accept, that there's nothing I can do about it.
That's right. It's out of your hand.
How do I confront my mind and discipline it in this situation? Or do I neglect those kind of thoughts and feelings? And my second question is, what can I do to increase my faith in Krishna's plan on a day-to-day basis?
Well, the answer to the first one is go to the second one. When there's something that's unwanted, it can be a struggle. So go to something that's wanted. Go to the light, and then the darkness is dispelled. You know, being disturbed by what you described, that's darkness. It's not the spiritual position. So go to the spiritual position. And that diminishes the darkness. Is it clear?
I'm getting it, but
easier said than done, but the principle is go towards the light. Give attention to question number two, and you'll find strength to resolve question number one. Doesn't mean like, you know, it's over. But it's the best means of dealing, ultimate best means. Now there can be other intermediary things that you may do to address number one. But the best solution, finally, is the purification that comes from becoming more connected with Krishna. And then the apprehension, fear, anxiety, etc., etc., diminishes. The first prayer of Prahlad, the first teaching of Prahlad to his father, encapsulate, we discussed it. Having a body and identifying with it. I and mine. So, in your question, number one is, the mind is my plan. And my plan is whatever it is. You know, the driver behind my plan, I have to have a plan. I can't be planless or, you know, no direction. I have to have goals. And I strive reasonably towards those goals with the intelligence that Krishna gives me, how to reach those goals. And the results are up to Krishna. That's reality. Simple way. Service is our department, results is Krishna's department. Don't take Krishna's position and think you're in charge of the results. That's Maya. We're not. You have to have a plan. Make a reasonable plan. And serve in the mood of serving Krishna, not in the mood of reaching the goal of my plan. The goal of pleasing to Krishna. And then the results are up to Krishna. Sundari Radha here? You're here? Okay. She made a plan. I'm sure, because I've been in that space before, things didn't go according to plan. You know, some things did and some things didn't. And if it didn't go according to your plan, you'll just adjust according to the results that Krishna provides and the circumstances, and you have to be fluid. Because the essence is service. That's our department. You have to have a plan. It'd be chaos if you didn't have a plan in your life or in an event like this or whatever. Have a plan. No problem. Results are up to Krishna. And intelligence goes to pleasing Krishna, depending upon the changing of circumstances. But how are you going to get there? That's question number two. I have to have faith that Krishna is real. You know, when I make a plan and present it, lay it at Krishna's feet, he hears me, he knows, he's real. And I'm dependent. That's reality. I'm not independent. That's illusion. Go to the reality. Now, how can I have greater faith in that reality? That's the right question. And take care of question number two, number one. Clear now? So faith, that's a nice topic, increasing faith. Simple, because of time. Associate with those that have faith. Second, using Prabhupada's phrase, ardent hearing. Ardent hearing, because faith is already there. And our faith, according to the modes of nature, go over someplace besides Krishna because of the modes of nature. So how do you bring faith to Krishna's shelter? By hearing from Krishna. That faith that's inside, faith in Krishna that's inside, becomes awakened by sound. And then sound means then the next, the third. You apply those things that you've heard and understood and make sense to you. When you act in knowledge, it increases faith, because you get a realization. Wow. You act in knowledge, you get some realization, and that increases faith. Application of what you've heard, rather than just nodding your head, say, I agree, and then I don't apply it. To the degree that we have the application principle operative in our life, we're going to get some, you know, we touch reality, and you get some realization, increases faith in not only what you've heard, but the source that you've heard from. Ultimately, it's Krishna. Through the representatives of Krishna, perhaps, but ultimately it's Krishna, faith in Krishna. The Krishna connection becomes bhakti, becomes nourished. That's the yukta. And then follows the yukta is vairagya, detachment from other things. Anasaktasya vishayan. I'm not the enjoyer. Krishna's the enjoyer. And that's the happy position. So he can engage me however he likes, because he's the enjoyer. I'm the servant. I'm not there yet, therefore I have this anxiety thing going on. But let me get there. That's requires faith. And faith is nourished in the ways mentioned. It's gradual, but it's natural. It's already there. Just needs to be awakened. So those are awakening strategies or methods. You're doing those things. Keep doing those things. And not just for the purpose of I'm really uncomfortable with this anxiety space that I get in. That's negative. The positive is Krishna should be pleased. That's what's really important. So bhakti increases as that increases. That increases bhakti. The Krishna connection becomes stronger. He is to be pleased. Not his business is to please you. Your business is to please him. That's bhakti. Anukulyena Krishna Anushimanam. He's to be pleased. Yes, up front here. Up over here.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. You know, I was thinking about whenever my mind starts to go fast, I listen to like affirmations, right?
You listen to it?
Affirmations, like these things on YouTube, like spiritual affirmations. It kind of slows down the mind, you know, I'm in the present moment, I'm here and now, these kind of things.
Yeah.
But after talking to Amataji, I realized it's just like a Band-Aid.
It's a Krishna very, what?
It's a very temporary Band-Aid to
the
listen.
Band-Aid.
Yeah, to yeah. listen to these affirmations.
Yes.
And then it's like a, you know, this material illusion enters the subconscious part of your brain. And although you start to control your mind a bit, you still, now you're thinking in a very material way of
yes.
some things.
Yes.
So I was just wondering if there's like some kind of Vedic scriptures that we can use as affirmations, you know, like maybe create a little like playlist or something that, you know, you can listen to that like give us these things to like infiltrate the subconscious, to like reduce fear, to be more in the light, these kind of things.
Well, I have faith in the hearing process, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's our method. Just as we've been doing this whole time we've been together, we're hearing entertaining activities with Dravida Prabhu.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just that hearing, it's mm-hmm. effective. Look what it's done for him.
Mm-hmm.
And you associate with that sound. So that's the affirmation.
Mm-hmm.
Then, so then it, you bring it inside, just like this little dialogue before your question.
Mm-hmm.
There are some things that resonate. Out of all of what you heard,
mm-hmm.
take some time on your flight on the way back or before then, write down, these are things that resonate.
Mm-hmm.
And then apply them. And that's a practical affirmation exercise for
mm-hmm.
you or for any devotee,
mm-hmm.
any one of us.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's a good idea. I'm going to do it.
Huh?
I said, thank you. It's a good idea. I'm going to do it.
It's a Vaishnava principle. We heard, we became purified, and the tendency, business as usual. So to prevent the 100% business as usual, it's not like I become a pure devotee on my flight back to New York, but I am going to the affirmation. I am going to apply. It's like commitment to yourself or commitment to Krishna. I'm going to apply this thing. Not too many. And at least once a day or, you know, something that's manageable and doable. And I want to apply this thing or these two, three things, whatever it is. There's many other things I heard and here's the, but I'm, incrementally I'm going to do this. And then you stick with it.
Mm.
And you know the expression, when the tide rises, all boats get lifted. So the other things that are struggles or other things that are important, you get strength from just doing one thing consistently. That's the affirmation exercise, that's the spiritual version rather than the mental one. It's application through sound. That's the Krishna connection. You feel it. the Krishna connection. Ooh, feel good. But then don't go away from the Krishna connection. I'm feeling good now. I'll become complacent. Make a little list and then do it consistently and then consider. So that's work. Spiritual work. But the Krishna connection is the product of spiritual work.
I was just hoping that there would be like a, you know, something on YouTube I can just listen to every day. Like I'm on a train and it's just like going into my subconscious all the time. But I guess I could create my own, you know, and just kind of listen to
it. As you wish. But you know, yeah. These things are recorded and you can go back and hear it again. Yeah. I know people that do that. They hear it again and again because what they want is they want it to go in. Mm. And not just like go, yeah, it's apply it. Mm. When it goes in and it's in, it changes how you see the world and how you experience the world and how you conduct your life. Mm. That's the process. Mm. Subal, I think you're going to have the last question. Dushtamana.
Guru Maharaj, in our tradition, we see through the Vaishnava Acharyas that they had this natural movement from Goshti Anandi to Bhajan Anandi, to help, you know, being engaged in helping the conditioned souls, and then at one point going into solitary or more intense, you know, in personal devotional service.
Well, I don't know if that preamble is something I agree with.
Okay, you can correct me.
Didn't do that. Bhaktisiddhanta didn't do that. The Goswamis didn't do that. So I don't know if the preamble is accurate.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was thinking that, you know, to my limited understanding, that when the Goswamis, even Lord Chaitanya entered into some very personal...
That's Lord Chaitanya.
The Goswamis?
Yeah, they had an assignment and they did it to the end. Mm. They wrote books. Mm. They liberated the Vrindavan... The Vrijavasis. They were intimately involved in the lives of, you know, marriages and children and education and, you know, problems. They're intimately involved. They weren't like Bhajananandi.
Mm. Same with Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
Well, my understanding is may be wrong, but my understanding is for some period of time, he did, and then he left that some period of time part of his life. Mm. He didn't leave the world in that state.
Mm. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's clear how Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati took a very strong stand, and Srila Prabhupada took it further.
Yeah, he showed by example. He's our acharya, so follow him.
Yes, yes, I'm...
Okay, I know you're not going over there, but the preamble is I'm taking exception to.
Yeah, so my question was going to be, and I think you answered, was that there circles, Vaishnava circles, they bring this out, that this is, you know, a natural thing that happens there, but Srila Prabhupada gave us that example.
Our business is to please Krishna. What leads you to Krishna, that drives our life. Yeah, we're done. Your announcements or your whatever it is.